Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Fred, just picture this. The nights are drawing in. Coronavirus is on the up. You head round to your best mate's house on the Saturday night, ready for the lash. You get there. You ask for a vodka, lime, and soda water. They give it to you. You look your mate in the eye and you say, Pre-lash. Your best mate tells you he's got beer pong and he's ready to play and he can film you. You could put it on your Instagram. You look at him and you say, mate, pre-lash. Drinks are flowing, beer pong has been playing, and your Insta stories are getting full. He starts bringing out the beer funnel. You're getting absolutely steamboated. By that time, you look your mate in the eye and you go, pre-lash. Then you realise it's 1 a.m. and actually all the bars are closed because of coronavirus and you're just absolutely smashed. So you just have to go home. Good note is you're not that hungover the next day and you can probably go to the gym.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 3 of pre-season. My name is Freddie Claude, and as the rain falls down outside, I see a slightly wet dog of a figure in Mr. Archie Curzon coming from the cold. How are you, sir?
Yeah, mate, completely forgot to bring my work umbrella, which is an absolute nightmare. But on a positive note, my lid looks unbelievable. Got to say, now is the season to get your studs out. The grass is going to be wet. No more touching trainers.
That may not be a bad idea for sort of a new shoe concept. When you walk into the city and you're trying to do a shortcut across Clapham Common to get to the tube, studs.
Yeah, I've actually started developing that idea already.
Oh shit! Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
It's work shoes with studs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it will be coming out in a couple of months. I'm just talking to a few designers in Portugal.
And after this is the first week since we've had the 1 week of the group of six, the pub's closing at 10 p.m. Obviously, yeah. You were trying to get Clapham to stay open longer. Some did, some didn't. How have you found it?
Yeah, I'm looking at the positive note. I've got to be honest. I now look at it and I realise what Bojo is doing. He's actually done me a massive favour because I've been on a few dates. Went on a date last Thursday, just when the Paul Alima pod dropped. And I'd had a spin class at 7:30, went on to 8:30. Managed to get to my date at 9:15. We had a drink. And then the pubs were closing. But luckily, Casa del Cousin was open 24 hours. So we just went straight back to mine. And actually, funny enough, I got her to listen to the Paula Lima pod, which she really enjoyed. And yeah, it was a successful date.
So she stayed the night?
No, she couldn't stay the night. She had work the next day. But yeah, we're following each other on Instagram. It's positive. It's really positive. It's a real positive lead. And I'm sort of business developing that quite hard. I've actually got my own CRM system for girls I date, and I've set myself a task to call her in, today, Thursday. So I'll probably touch base with her, try and organise a brunch of some sort, and then probably BD that even further, and then hopefully the deal will be settled on date 3.
And
if I can seal the deal on date 2, why not? Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great to start Q4 positively.
Well, I was about to say, as soon as this podcast comes out tomorrow, Q4 is upon us. You've got silly season and Q4 to look forward to. Are you excited or nervous?
I was a little bit sad this morning. You know, it's sad to say goodbye to Q3. It's been interesting. It's been positive, as most quarters are. But I've got to say, my favourite quarter is quarter 4. It's just bloody good fun.
And what better way to start off Q4 than with ex-Scotland captain, Mr. Rory Lawson, who's about to come on the podcast. You excited to chew the fat with him, have a bit of banter?
Yeah, really excited. Like, it's just good to get back to some proper rugged chat. You know, what the people want to hear, just two rugby legends chatting, just having some bloody good banter.
Do you think you'd have linked up well with him if you played together?
Yeah, 100%. To be honest, mate, it's whether they'd link up with me. You know, I'm a unique rugby player. You know, not a lot of guys out there have the pitter patter, have the dancing feet, have the vision, have the lid, have the rig, and also hold the position of CEO of Clapham.
Well, that's a very good point, Archie. Not many do hold it at all. Well,
no one does. Yeah, that's the unique thing about me.
Yeah, just you, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm a unicorn.
And, you know, three eps in now, how have you felt that pre-season's gone?
Pre-season's going well. I mean, the chat isn't to, you know, where I want it to be, but that's what pre-season's for. It's just working out the nooks and crannies. By the time we hit season three, my C.H.A.T. will be on absolute fire. I'll be like a steam train. Good luck to anyone that comes on, because I'm going to blow them away.
And we can't say yet, but the caliber of personnel we have already signed up to season three.
Yeah. No, mate. It's next level. It's like taking Infernos and putting it in a ski resort and then moving it to Vadaloba and having a 2-week holiday where you ski for the first week and go to Vadaloba the second. I mean, it's fucking insane.
Oh, mate, I couldn't have put it better myself. Without further ado,
it's honestly like the perfect fitting T-shirt. It's just unreal, and I'm just so proud of the, you know, the development and the connections I've made. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I get a request to go on a celebrity TV show very soon.
Celebrities go dating.
I can imagine it now.
Yeah, I would be quite surprised. I see that Mr. Lawson is waiting for us, and we don't want to make a Scott
angry.
Let's
get him on.
So let's get him on.
Bring him on. There he is. Thanks so much for giving up your time to have some chanter.
Chanter, indeed. C.H.A.T.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of that tonight.
Today we're delighted to be joined by an ex-Scotland captain who also represented Edinburgh, Gloucester and Newcastle Falcons, Mr. Rory Lawson. Firstly, Rory, I know you were hit pretty hard with the coronavirus back in April. How are you feeling now? And more importantly, how much did the Rugbiz Pod help you get through those tough weeks?
Yeah, Freddie, I'll be honest. It knocked me for six. I was floored by it. It maybe showed my age, but yeah, it was... I foolishly went to Cheltenham Festival on my way down to Cardiff for the Wales-Scotland game.
Great place to network.
Yeah, they were a great networking spot, Archie, yeah. And returned home, and about 4 or 5 days later was hit pretty hard by it. My fitness and wellness now is better, but I could do with a bit of pre-season
Who were you at the festival with, Lucy?
Tindo, Nicky Robinson, James Simpson Daniel, and actually Gethin Jones, who loves his rugger of MasterChef, of Strictly, and all that kind of stuff.
Good looking guy. I'd love to go out with him and Clapham. Reckon me and him could do some serious damage.
Yeah, we had a memorable night out on Northcote Road, actually. A couple of years ago, and it's fair to say he's a magnet. He's a magnet, single man as well.
You could have just dropped me a little LinkedIn message. I could have been there. I could have sorted you guys out. CEO of Clapham, I could have. Yeah, I could have come.
You know, Arch, I think this was maybe before your time. How long have you been CEO for?
Probably the last 10 years, but really, it's come to fruition in the last 3 years. People have really recognised the title. It's interesting you talk about Gethin, because I've been emailing his people because I want him to do a promotional video for Clapham. We're working on the tourism side of the business at the moment, trying to get more tourists to come, and I thought he'd be a great face for it.
He's got a
soft Welsh accent that we were going to hope that he could do an Australian accent, actually.
I'm sure he'd do that for the right fee, but actually, he's a genuine advocate. He still talks about that night as being one of the greatest ever nights.
To be fair, if we went out, it could be you to me to Max inside centre, Tom outside centre. Gethin could play fullback. Just need two wingers. We could get Tins to be like a big winger, the Lord of Lash, and then on the other wing, I guess Nicole Scherzinger could fill that slot. That's a great backline.
Yeah, solid. I'd maybe move Tins into 12 and put Maxi out on the wing.
Yeah, that's why you were captain of Scotland. You made those big decisions, and you're right.
Just as you mentioned Cheltenham there, it got me thinking, your uncle Derek Thompson, obviously the voice of horse racing in the country, surely you got some incredible tips from him and sort of had some memorable nights out of the races, you know, not just that one fateful day where you probably caught corona and were ill for 3 weeks.
We had some great days, Freddie. You know, six years at Gloucester, and the frustrating thing is that the race week normally fell within the Six Nations window, or always fell in Six Nations window. St. Patrick's Day week, but I would fairly often jump on a flight down. We'd normally have a day off in the week preparing for an international, so I'd fly back down, have a dry day at the races, which wasn't necessarily easy, but it became a massive love of mine. Yeah, Tomo,
like saying to me, like going to the Ned and not doing a deal. I mean, that's bloody tough work.
It's hollow. Hollow Arch. It was tough to take, but I've been back a couple of times since, and it is one of the great days in sport. It is just so good, and being able to go back with some of the old guard and enjoy a day or two at the races is awesome. You must have been Arch a few times. Good spot to.
It's one of my favourite places to take clients. Although 2 years ago, just not this year, we didn't go because 2 years ago, one of the guys in the office got a little bit loose, and we had some complaints from one of our female clients. So we're holding back this year. But yeah, I mean, for me, really, I love entertaining clients, but I'm more about either golf days or days on a boat.
Obviously, your father, Alan Lawson, was an international scrum half for Scotland, later became president of the Scotland Rugby Union.
It's funny because it does show me that genetically, you came from a rugby family, and that led you down a rugby path. And actually, you know, if only had I come from that sort of astute background, but unfortunately, look, I came from a business background, and that's, you know, that's what happens. You naturally go into what your father did, and although my father only really made his money in his 40s, obviously because both his parents died. But I mean, that's another story.
We all have our calling, don't we, Arch?
We certainly do, Laurie. I to be honest, I'm pretty happy the way things turn out. You know, the fact that I've got, I mean, I will not feel this recession, Freddie. I mean, looking where we are now, Freddie, I think Freddie is feeling the recession a little bit.
I'm feeling it a touch, yeah.
I'm with you, Freddie.
Well, we're talking about coin. You attended Dollar Academy in the county of Clackmanshire in Scotland. I wasn't aware they had boarding schools up there apart from Fetties, but it's wonderful to see that they do. What are your memories of your school days?
Great days, Fred. My folks actually still live in Dollar, so it's a small village, and so I'm not surprised you haven't heard of it.
Is it called Dollar?
It's called Dollar. It's a kind of village.
That's a village I should acquire.
You need to get a property or two there.
Yeah, a bit of Dollar. I like that.
There you go. Exactly. So yeah, and great days at school. Some of my best mates from school are still my best mates now. Actually, I played for a touch team called the Southern Peasants on Clapham Common and Wandsworth Common in my time in London, and there are a few of the Dollar boys there. Mango being one of them. You'd like Mango.
Why is he called Mango? I like that nickname.
Yeah, pass. He suits it. A lot of people. His actual name's Colin, so it's probably as a replacement for that.
Yeah, pretty that's solid. A terrible name. Anything is better than Colin.
In the classroom, didn't love my school days, but it was based around the rugby and cricket and athletics and all that kind of nonsense.
Everyone knows that if you're, you know, at school, if you're good at sport, you'll be successful in life. That's a fact. I don't know anyone that I didn't play first 15 rugby with at school that hasn't gone on to do pretty well.
Yeah, but they all just get given jobs by their family, don't they? So.
Yeah, but that's good networking.
Your grandfather was the late, great Bill McLaren, the true voice of rugby, career spanned over 50 years and really brought the sport to life when radio moved to TV post-World War II. The only non-international ex-rugby player to be in the Rugby Hall of Fame. An incredible guy. What are your memories of the precious time you spent with him over the years? Obviously such a recognisable voice in person. Can you recall some of the wonderful stories he must have shared with you, having met so many incredible people and, you know, commented on so many amazing moments?
Yeah, he was an incredible human being. You know, proper role model, proper hero. you may or may not have seen the Guinness advert. So the fact, you know, there was the Guinness advert on the fact he went to World War II as a 21-year-old, came back, contracted tuberculosis. But prior to that, he was an outstanding rugby player in his own right, and said he would have given up everything for one cap. And he, you know, he had a Scottish trial, but tuberculosis, he survived that. He and my nana had met before the war, and then he came back and he spent a couple of years in a hospital, actually near where a sanatorium near where I live now, and was one of seven to be trialed on a wonder drug called streptomycin. And remarkably, he was one of the two to survive tuberculosis. And while he was in hospital, he commentated on a bit of the hospital radio on table tennis. And you can see this Guinness advert that's genius. And then from there, he became a reporter in rugby, a written reporter. And the opportunity opened up for him in radio and then laterally TV. And he was just, you know, his turn of phrase was absolutely incredible. And even the youngsters who have played Jonah Lomu rugby on the PlayStation will have heard him commentate. And everyone has their favourite one-liners. But Fred, you're a man of his own heart. His three keys to success were preparation, preparation, preparation. So
Joe Malone is the only game I actually play. I'm not a much of a gamer, but that's the only game I play.
Well, you kept your PS1 just to play it, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's still a classic. It's still the best rugby game out there.
It's the greatest rugby game out there. I thought about Papa when I was thinking, when I was thought about talking to the magician today, actually, because he did once describe Yai and Evans, and when he stepped inside about four Scottish defenders, and he said, "Magic, magic, all the way." Merlin the magician couldn't have done any better.
I'd imagine you would have said something similar about the way I play. For me, it would have been a dream for him to commentate on me on a daily, like have a day with me where he was next to me, sort of commentating next to me. As I get on the tube, he'd be describing the way I so majestically edge into the tube. And then it would have been, that's actually a dream of mine, to have someone commentate on my daily basis. That would be great. I think what he would have said, if you catch him in Infernos, you get to make a wish. And a lot of the girls know that. It's kind of true about the old magician.
Well, Rory, if we can go back to your playing career quickly, your debut professional club was Edinburgh, but you didn't get that much playing time for them, only getting 22 caps over three seasons. As you look back on it, was it a bittersweet experience?
Yeah, Freddie, I think definitely. Having said that, my expectation was maybe a little bit too high. I did an MA in business studies at Edinburgh Uni, so I had 4 years at uni, did my last exam on the Friday, started professional rugby on the Monday, and I was joining a club whereby you had Graham Burns, who was an international scrum half, and Mike Blair, who was the same age as me, but was in that squad a year earlier under Frank Haddon. So as you mentioned, my game time was a little bit limited. Typically when Mike was away with the national team, I'd get my shot, and I became pretty frustrated when I'd play well and I'd deliver, but then the opportunities didn't come again off the back of that. So Carl Hogg was actually my coach at Edinburgh. He was an assistant coach there. And he then moved to Gloucester, and Brian Redpath was down there. Dean Ryan was head coach, and it was just a brilliant opportunity that I grabbed, and you know, look back on those days so fondly.
And the Cotswolds is beautiful.
We heard from Max Evans about playing for Glasgow recently. He said that nights out in Glasgow were pretty loose because as a rugby player you could somewhat go unnoticed due to it being a football city, you know, obviously the big teams up there. So what was it like for you lads post-match in Edinburgh?
Edinburgh, great. Some great times, some great squad nights out, some pretty crazy squad nights out, and some that we'd be thankful that the Instagram and Snapchat and the likes didn't exist in those days, and we're all pretty grateful for that.
Were you single?
Only for a short spell.
How many times did you use the line, "I'm a professional rugby player"?
Pass.
I use it. I'm going to say I use it quite a lot. I say semi-pro, and then I show them my Instagram, and I say, "Look, that's I've got 37, and then I show them all the videos, and they love it. Takes about 10 minutes, but after that, they're in the bed.
See, the beauty for you, Arch, is that you've got that double hit, haven't you? You're a double threat because you've got the sporting prowess,
sure,
but then you've also got the wedge
and the connections on LinkedIn. It's
and the LinkedIn connection.
Yeah, and it's also I look good in a V-neck T-shirt. That always helps. That, you know, first you look good, then they find out.
A black V-neck, or do you go white? Do you go white to properly emphasize the ring?
White in the summer when I've come back from Saint-Tropez, black in the winter, just because I tend to put on a little bit of poundage in the winter. It's colder, I eat a little bit more, but the black just is a lot slimmer. Just a little tip for everyone listening.
When it comes to infernos, though, how do you deal with the sticky carpet with your flip-flops?
That's a good question. Depends, really. I mean, if it's fancy dress, then I'll be in my 300 kit, as you know. And I probably just won't go flip-flops. I'm better with just bare feet in infernos. It's a more authentic look to what they would have had in 300. Otherwise, then, you know, I know a few of the bouncers and they'll lend me some boots to go around in. I'm blessed. I can look good in anything.
Right, clearly. Gerard Butler's a rugby fan, you know.
Is he? Have you ever met Gerard?
Yeah. I met him in Dublin for the Ireland-Scotland game. And then in a bizarre turn of events, I ended up going to the UFC at the O2 with him.
You're joking.
No.
Has the guy got a bit of banter?
He's a proper ledge. He's a great look.
Oh, that is that's a bloody good story. I like that. Why hasn't that happened to me? I've been on Instagram. I've got 37,000 followers and no one's offered to take me out.
Talking about proper passionate Scots, what did you guys make? Because Max Evans said it was quite weird going up to Scotland being English. Jim alluded to the same thing and said that it was a sort of English expat community in Scotland. So I'd like to know what it was like sort of from the other side of the coin. What did you proper Scots think about these English guys coming up to play for you?
We called them the Exiles because, I was one of them ultimately, because when we went into camp or training weeks or whatever, the Exiles, so people playing outside of Scotland, would all fly up the day earlier. So we ended up being quite tight as a group. And you know, having dinners together and so on, and we'd be the guys that ended up having to truck to the airport rather than just jumping in the car and driving home at the end of a training week. I'll be honest, I think for guys whose position was being threatened by somebody who only realised that they wanted to be Scottish when there was a chance of a Scotland international cap, there was a little bit of bitterness towards that, but actually, on the whole, the guys who came up, you wouldn't have been able to tell whether they were born in Scotland or not.
How unfortunate was it for you, sir, to be in competition with two other world-class number nines, both played British and Irish Lions? I mean, you know, in some spots during your playing days, you couldn't, you know, Big Jim got 60 caps, for God's sake. But then at the same time, you couldn't always get a run out in front of Blairy and Cusita.
Yeah, if only I was a foot taller, I might have had a chance on a few caps, eh? I'm very proud of my 31 caps. Mike and Cuss, it was a golden era of scrum halves. And then if you look just a couple of years younger, and you've got Greg Laidlaw that's come through and done really well. But you know, Mike at 85 caps, I think the most caps Scottish scrum half. Cuss was not far behind, as you said, Fred. Two British and Irish Lions, two like good mates of mine. So it was tough, kind of sitting in their slipstream and having to wait for the opportunity. And then I felt like I grabbed my opportunity when it came, and I had some great days whereby I managed to sneak past and get the number nine jersey for a stint. And along the way, you know, a couple of World Cups with those boys was brilliant. Some great days. I think Big Jim said, as a Scot, we weren't winning as regularly as this Scotland team did. But you know, Big Jim's standard line is, we didn't have that many good days, but we had some great days. And you know, captaining Scotland was special. The first time a captain was against South Africa, and we won that game. So that was That was one of my strongest ever memories.
Rory, just to go back. Obviously, you said that you were good mates with Blaise and Cussie. How tough is that? Because for me, I'm in the city, and let's say one of my colleagues decides that he's going to BD a potential customer, and then I have a chat to him. And like, we're good mates, we enjoy a few beers out of the office, but then I say, listen, mate, I think you find I actually dropped a little email to the MD 2 months ago. It's on the CRM system, if you don't know. Notice. I mean, there's going to be a bit of competition. Did you ever, did it ever come to sort of, fisticuffs? How does that work in a sporting arena? In the office, okay, it comes down to the experience. And I've been in the office a lot longer than this guy, and I told him, and he backed off straight away. But I said, look, if you do hear back from the MD, let me know. I'll cut you in on 10%. So,
yeah. Dog eat dog, isn't it, Arch? I think
it certainly is out there.
Yeah, look, I think the way that, I guess being scrum hash, you didn't get that many opportunities to, a little sly nudge. Cuss and I would say probably had more mongrel than Mike. Mike was kind of silky, classy. And Cuss and I were a little bit more mongrel. So if push came to shove, I'd probably have backed myself 9 times out of 10 against Blakesy, or actually Blade, as he self nicknamed himself.
That's a cool nickname.
It's controversial.
You should tell that guy Mungo to change his name to Blade.
Mango.
Just tell that guy, say, listen, I don't know why they call you Mango, but here's a new nickname, Blade.
Yeah, he's in London. I'll have to arrange a beer between you two so you can sit down and try and work out how you can transition out of 20 years.
What's
of
he
being
do?
Mangled.
What's he do?
He's a teacher.
Oh, no point. I can't help the guy. He's going to have a too low basic salary to hanging out with me.
He had a stint in the city.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then he's gone to teach people how to operate in the city, or...
Well, he teaches in inner city schools, actually.
Oh, okay, he's one of those guys, a do-gooder. He's made his money, and he's almost showing off in front of people. Okay, yeah, I get it.
He's opening up opportunities for the youth of today, the way that you open up deals, Arch.
Well, actually, get him to give me a call, because it's something I'm working on. I want to help people, in Clapham, mainly privately educated people, but there could be synergy. Just put that down on a note to connect with Mango. Okay. But not away from the shopping list, because otherwise I think I need to buy Mango.
I will do. After 6 brilliant years at Gloucester, a couple of World Cups, captain of your country, you joined the Clapham Falcons sister club, Newcastle, but sadly had to retire a year later with a chronic wrist injury. And I couldn't quite believe I was reading that right, but yeah, a chronic wrist injury. Were you single at the time? And if so, how did the injury come about?
I wasn't single at the time. Yeah, it could have been so different. But yeah, at the time, it was tough times at the sister club. Albeit we won that year, which was good, and some great boys up there. And I enjoyed the year. It could have been so different. I was very close to signing for the Western Force in Super Rugby.
Really? What made you not do that? I love Australian lash.
Yeah, imagine that in Perth, Australia, the beach. Oh. All that kind
Why
of
did
stuff.
You turn it down for Newcastle?
Well, no, I didn't turn it down. The guy who was going to sign me there, I spoke to him on the Friday. He said a contract would be incoming on the Saturday. He rang me on the Saturday and said that he had been poached to go to the Queensland Reds as their head coach. And so he wouldn't be able to take the contract through. So that was that.
And that was, I guess, that gave you a good sort of lesson to how business works. Your first lesson in terms of how business works, contracts can
happen. That was it.
Rory, I always ask, who did you like playing with the most? Who was your favourite person to play with? And also, obviously we've asked all the guests, Jim told a great story about Faz. Who did you hate playing with?
One of the guys I love playing with, probably one of the most unlucky and potentially underrated players for those who didn't know him, would have been James Simpson Daniel. So Sinbad, who was, you'll have seen his show and go around John Olomu when he played for for England against the Barbas.
I do that every match.
Yeah, I'm sure he. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he would have inspired you to that move. He was just somebody who was just absolutely ridiculous. You could get you out of trouble pretty quickly with just a moment of genius. He was a freak of nature. Alongside that, you've got guys like Eliota Fui Manusapolu, who was the Samoan centre who could do similar. Who did I hate playing with? I loved playing alongside Nicky Robinson, the fly half, Welsh fly half.
Good looking guy.
And yeah, but the angriest rugby player I've ever played with. So as his scrum half, when he's at fly half, I'm sure you'd be a cool, calm head.
Yeah,
Arch. But
I think me and you would have a great partnership. You know,
I'd say so. Yeah. Telepathic, I'd say.
So Rory, obviously you're still a big commentator pundit on the game of rugby. Were you watching any of the incredible European rugby which took place over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. And I thought of you guys actually. Obviously there was the incredible Saracens win, taking down Leinster's undefeated run. But the big shout out was Toulouse against Ulster. Wayne Barnes refereeing, and immediately I started thinking about the Rigbys. Toulouse were encroaching a little bit at the breakdown, and Wayne Barnes, one of the good referees who is bilingual and talks to the French players in French, was calling lash, 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 lash at breakdown, which apparently in French means release. So yeah. I immediately thought he needs to be the single that you guys are releasing. He may well need to become part of that.
Obviously, just finishing off on the rugby there, you are, as I say, a pundit, a commentator, a writer, but also you're still involved in the Barbas. I saw just before lockdown, when there was meant to be some Barbas happening, you were sort of meant to be involved in that at some level, am I right?
Yeah, I've been really, really privileged to be on the committee and management board of the Barbarians for the past 4 or 5 years. And obviously the most famous rugby club in the world.
Yeah.
So much history, so many of the best players ever to play the game have donned the Barbarians jersey. And I loved my week or 9 days with the Barbas a few years ago. But being able to stay involved in rugby, the Barbarians are facing England, and hopefully there'll be a crowd of 25,000 in Twickenham on the 25th of October. But you know, we're pulling the squad together at the moment,
and that's why, actually, funny enough, I've got Rory on the podcast.
What did you mean?
Well, it's all about connections, and I know Rory's a powerful man in the Barbas, and actually one of my dreams is to play for the Barbas. I'm guessing this could be possible.
No, obviously not, mate. Rory?
Well, Arch, all I'm saying is the game is going to be at Twickenham.
Yeah.
And you know, coronavirus may halt opportunities for others, you know, potentially the likes of Dan Carter coming in from Japan.
Yeah. I could fill that gap. I could fill that gap.
Wade Cooper. You know, these guys who you could stand in the boots of. So
what you're saying is you need a number 10 with a bit of razzmatazz, a bit of personality, a decent lid, a great following on social media, and unbelievably good pitter-patter. Well, I'm here, Rory, if you need me.
Well, we do know that the Barbas traditionally have had one non-capped player within the squad. And all I'm saying is never say never.
And what I will say, if the other committee members listen to this, I'm great for just morale, lash, and I live in London. I know the best places. I'll get us all in any way we want. If we want number 32 for the night, just let me know. I know Ian, the manager. I'll sort it out.
What a place.
But this is potentially could be it, Freddie.
Well, and also Barbas.
I play Barbarians and I get a new co-host.
Oh my god!
It could be someone who's like a professional rugby player, and this podcast will take off. I'll remember you.
Well, Rory, obviously now the rugby days have somewhat come to an end, at least the professional ones.
Rub it in, why don't you?
Sorry, mate. So, talking business, obviously we'll touch on what you're up to now, but I couldn't help but be attracted to the story about your brother Gregor, who founded the company Morph Suits. I think he was an ex-pro rugby player as well. Was he sevens player or 15s?
Yeah.
And inspired by Dublin Stag Do Weekend, He was on with a couple of mates where one attendee was wearing a similar sort of outfit to an early stage morph suit. They then went on to properly launch the company in 2010. They're now the biggest fancy dress company in the world with exclusive partnerships with Disney, Marvel, etc. Revenues north of $10 million a year. Firstly, are you angry that you weren't on the stag, and secondly, not involved in the business?
Well, yes. And look, I've heard the stories from that stag will go down as some of the best. And yeah, they've done very well. Albeit, you know, Halloween is their big weekend, and who knows what this Halloween is going to look like with all this COVID nonsense.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah,
pull your finger out. Halloween is an important, you know, date in my diary. I do a lot of damage on Halloween.
In your 300. Outfit.
In my 300. Halloween is just, it's like going for a day at the beach for me. Just get my chassis out. I may as well just be in Budgie Smugglers from morning to tonight.
Well, Archie's got a lot of one-line sort of throwaways which he delivers to give inspiration to the thousands who listen and sort of try and aid them to a better life. What would your be sort of one sentence statement to finish off to say, this is what you need to know in life to be successful?
Look good, play good, make money.
I can finish with a story about my papa, actually, because it's one that's always stuck by me. He used to wander around with a bag of sweets in his pocket everywhere that he went. And he went to training sessions, you know, horrible wet nights whereby he'd be preparing for a commentary at the weekend. And whether it was an Australian, English, Scotsman who was training, they'd always go across and say hello to him as someone who was recognised as promoting the game so brilliantly. And he'd pull the bag of sweets out of his pocket and he'd say, there you go, son, have one of those. It'll give you an extra yard of pace for the game. And normally, if any of the front rowers who were a little bit fluffy around the edges went over, he'd say, you should maybe have two. So I suppose if I was to talk about the great man, it would be find your extra yards, whatever that may be.
That we should put that on the poster.
That is amazing. Find your extra yard, and with the little Manscaped gift we're giving you, you'll find your extra inch. Roy Lawson, thank you so much for coming on, mate. You're an absolute legend, and we look forward to sending you your merch and seeing some photo evidence of you enjoying it, and hopefully a smile on your wife's face.
Thanks, Rory.
Thanks, lads.
Bada bada bing. That was just some solid rugged chat.
Oh, flower of Scotland. What
a
guy.
Yeah, yeah. Good guy. Good banter. That's what people want. That is what rugby podcasts are about.
Did you enjoy?
Just good old banter.
Did you enjoy getting back into the nooks and cranny of rugby? I mean,
yeah,
you really
were. Yeah, mate. It's something that comes naturally to me. Yep. And that was just like a meeting at the Ned with a client. It just flowed.
Yeah, I completely agree. He was a wonderful guy.
It was a great pre-season fixture. It's what we needed to go into the new season.
And do you think you've got a chance of playing in that Barbars game come October?
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you actually generally think he wasn't
joking. I back myself 200%.
So Twickenham this October, you'll be playing?
I could do, yeah. Okay. I'm match fit.
I'm not so sure.
I'm match fit. Like, rig-wise, I'm match fit. Chat-wise, okay, give or take, I'm pretty much match fit. But you put me in that Barbarian team, mate. I'll step up to the plate.
Well, that is incredibly exciting.
I'll step up to that plate. Give me a plate, mate, and I'll step up to it.
Do you think you'd bring the bum funnel to the Barbers boys?
Yeah, straight away. I'd walk in there and just bum funnel them all.
Well, guys, thank you so much listening to Ep3.
Yeah, well listened, boys. Well listened, but I've got my hands up, raising, just clapping you all. Well played. Yeah. You know, it's not, this pod's nothing without you.
Well, mate,
a lot of it's down to me, but guys, well played. It's been that was a good pre-season fixture. We needed you guys, and I'm just walking around the field now, just clapping, spotting out my mates, my family, just waving my hand. Cheers, guys! Thanks so much. Thanks for coming. Cheers, guys! Bangers! Just imagining if I saw Bangers, my mate. I haven't seen you for 10 years. Bangers. But great preseason fixture. I think the fans will be happy with that.
Well, Archie, you're sort of walking off like you've just scored a double 100 in cricket. You're holding your imaginary bat, thanking the crowd. Talking about cricket, did you see that Popey's just signed a £360,000 a year contract?
That's what happens when you come to this pod.
Agreed.
It's just so money.
Agreed.
You make money.
No one's doing worse than they were before.
That's what I do. That's why they call me the magician, because I make things happen.
Yeah, maybe it's time to start another AAA, BBB, CCC course.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking about bringing one out in November, Clapham Grand. Selling tickets probably next week.
Fine, so, okay. Yeah. Well, that's incredibly
exciting.
Improve
your chassis, improve your chat, and then improve your coin.
Well, mate, talking about next week, we've got the incredible...
Who's the last pre-season fixture?
Mr. Damien Hopley.
Mate.
President of the RPA.
And CEO.
And CEO.
It'll be the first time two CEOs come on this podcast and banter.
Come face to face, both in the rugby world, both making great coin.
I think he'll respect me, and I respect him. It'll be an interesting... It's the kind of fixture you want at the end of pre-season. Just something a bit different, something unusual. The tactics will be the same from us. You know, we'll go hard and fast. But looking forward to getting Hoppers on, mate, because the guy's in good nick. He's got something about him, and it'll be interesting to talk business.
He used to work for ICAP and was also a professional rugby player, so you got a lot in common.
Yeah, love ICAP. Love that. Great business. Yeah. I think they'll do very well.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much for supporting us.
Don't forget that you can go and get a great fixture, guys.
A lot of fucking merchandise on the Rets Club website. Just go on there.
I mean it, guys. Just get on there and sort yourself out a hat. It's bloody good fun. Yeah. I actually was in Northcote Road on the weekend.
Go on.
And I saw a guy with a Clapham Falcons hat. And I just went up to him and I said, like, nice hat, mate.
Did he know you were?
No, he didn't. And then I showed him like a picture. I it's not a picture, it's just a screenshot I've taken, it was actually my notes in my phone,
right.
Where I'd written up my own Wikipedia page, and I just showed him that.
That's quite tragic.
No, it was he was really impressed.
Mm, okay. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to go get yourself some merch. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, boys.
And until
Cheers,
then,
girls.
Stay safe.
Take it easy.
No more than six in the house.
Yeah, and just remember, guys, Casa the Cousin is open 24 hours. But you've got to be fair.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.